Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Huge thanks to ZZ Hops. What a bunch of good guys these are. And I was always interested in doing this, Julio, because all those brewers that we have in it, we've had like 35 to 40 brewers in. I think we've got pretty much the whole city covered. You and I talked about that. We've gone outside the city to Excelsior Springs. We've dabbled in Liberty. We've dabbled in St. Joe. We've dabbled in Lawrence.
St. Louis.
We still got some more Lawrence breweries to go. But I kind of want to know where they started in these brew clubs like this, because so many people out there are interested in making their own beer. And these guys will teach you how to make your own beer. And I always appreciate that because, again, all these guys got their start in different brew clubs around the area. Beermeisters or the Missouri Mashers. Johnson County has a beer club as well. But
you got a bottle opener?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Good. Yeah.
Come prepared.
I'll get you a bottle
opener.
I'm not. I'm not. Totally not. I'm sorry. I got a baby at home. Hey, I also got a daughter that woke me up at 7:15 going, "Hey, I just found out it's Donuts with Dudes."
I hear excuses.
That's when does that start? 15 minutes. Oh God, I don't like it. Look, I've accepted my fate that I'm a man who's married now with children.
You're a family man.
But let me just make this known that ever since 2006, I have not had to get up for work before noon, because afternoon drive for the last 10 years, and before that nights, which meant that I can sleep in as late as I want. Now I have kids and I can't sleep in anymore. 7:30. 7:30. That's all I asked for.
That's what I hear.
Let me stay in bed till 7:30.
You hear that? World's smallest violin. Yeah.
7:30. That's all I want. I want to stay in bed until 7:30.
Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, spoke today, and anytime he talks, I like to listen. If there's one guy, this defense needs leadership so bad. And when the Honey Badger first signed on, Pete Sweeney and I talked to him afterwards, you know, about, you know, how Pat said, "Hey, take over the defense," whatever. This team desperately needs leadership of the Honey Badger. Here's the Honey Badger discussing the way the Chiefs' defense has been playing.
How do you feel like you guys were handling Tannehill? Frank said after the game, it felt like maybe you guys got a little bit surprised by his physicality. What did you think about what you saw from Tannehill on Sunday?
Well, I thought late in the game, you know, he began to, you know, play really aggressive. You know, whether it be, you know, him trying to push the ball down the field or, you know, him tucking it and running it. So, you know, I mean, it's been a constant thing, you know, all year, just us really finishing ball games. You know, and then, you know, in some instances, just trying our best to get the ball back to our offense to win the game. We really haven't been, you know, good in those areas.
I know they had to obviously run a sort of a hurry-up offense the last minute. How do you think you guys have performed in those scenarios? It's been a few times, I think, with Baltimore. I know Detroit ran it a little bit where they sort of played it at that tempo style. Just where do you feel like you guys have played, and where can that be improved on as the season goes along?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately, you know, matching the tempo of the offense, you know, realizing that when you get in those situations that, you know, teams aren't necessarily trying to concede, you know what I mean? Some teams are going to try to score, you know, and match, you know, what our offense could possibly do if they were to get the ball back. So, you know, like I said, we haven't played well, really, you know, in the last few drives of games, it's something that really, you know, we need to improve on.
That trouble you guys have had finishing, what changes in those situations?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, but I know one thing's for certain. You know, no matter what's going on, you know, no matter the play call, I think, you know, in our defense, 11 guys have to be locked in, you know, on each and every snap. And when you don't have that and you have one or two guys not doing their jobs, you know, it's going to affect, you know, the entire defense.
Would you come off of a game where, like, the last minute and a half, everything that could go wrong went wrong for you guys?
How do you kind of carry that into the next week and say, all right, enough's enough, and we got to stop this and move forward and try to change it?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, ultimately, I think it falls on guys like myself, really taking pride in, you know, understanding that really somebody needs to make a play. And we haven't made that play yet. And, you know, if you can go back and look through the whole season, but particularly the four losses, we didn't make that play on defense. And, you know, I want to make that play. I know a lot of guys on our defense want to make that play. And, you know, we got another opportunity Monday night, and it may present itself again. And we just got to find a way to make that play. And hopefully that play can carry us over and, you know, get us some momentum, you know, going into the next few weeks.
On a short touchdown by Henry, you guys had 10 men on the field. Were you aware of that? Did you know? Was there a problem going on then? Or was it something you didn't realize until you get to the film and take a look that you guys were down a man?
Yeah, I didn't realize that at the time. But obviously, I don't really know what happened with them shuffling players in and out. But we were in one, we were in one personnel, and I think they switched, and then we tried to match it, and, I think that just goes to leadership and, you know, at guys on the sideline keeping everybody into the game.
What is the feeling to play in Mexico?
Well, excited about it, to represent our country, to go out there and to a different culture and experience their culture, bring our culture to them as well. I think that's always a positive thing. And then anytime you get to play, you know, Monday night primetime football, and you really try to, you know, be positive in what you do. That's what we're going to try to do Monday night.
Have been any difference in your preparation, knowing the altitude, the different stadium, knowing that you're going to play in Mexico?
No, I think it's, you know, really just, you know, sleeping well and, you know, drinking plenty of water. We got one game in Denver, but I don't think the altitude will really affect us. I think most of us are in, you know, pretty good shape.
Have you heard how big is the Mexican following of the NFL?
Yes, and actually, I've had a lot of, you know, people, you know, from Mexico follow me on social media and, you know, ask me for tickets and different things like that. So, it's good. It's good that our brand and, is really continuing to grow throughout the world. And the more and more people we can get to, you know, embrace football, it's always a good thing. Trying to make this game last as long as we possibly can.
You giving them the tickets?
Yeah, I might.
Couple more.
Darren, did you see the game yesterday, Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns? And if you watch, how do you think about what happened in the last seconds with Miles Garrett?
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I'm usually in bed pretty early, but it's uncalled for. It really shouldn't happen, you know, at any level of football. And it's unnecessary, I would say.
With Phillip Rivers has 10 interceptions this season, I'm just curious, what do you see on tape that make you view guys more opportunities in the back end? Because he likes to go down the field and sort of dare the secondary.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping he throw me one. But, he's a veteran quarterback. He's played a lot of football. And Phillip is confident in his game. And, you know, he talks a lot and, you know, he can back it up. And so I think in his mind, you know, he believes he can get it done. So we got to go out there, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we got to start matching these offenses tempo, whether it be the quarterback or the running back. And, really try to find a way to play at our advantage.
Taryn, I got to ask you about your celebrity waiting dinner tomorrow, mm-hmm. Saturday, I should say. You still practicing? Any other guys practicing about that?
I think we're all excited about it. I think a lot of my teammates are really eager to get out and support me. And, I'm excited to see what kind of turnout it'll be. And, you know, just to remind everybody that, you know, all these proceeds and benefits are go directly to the kids of families of Kansas City. So I'm excited about that. It's my first big event here. And so mostly looking for a great turnout.
Where and when is it? Give it a plug.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 6:00, the West End, I believe. Yes.
There you go, the Honey Badger right there. By the way, Kansas up 62-21 over Monmouth. Woohoo! KU's looking really good in that one. The Honey Badger, that's the leadership they need on defense. And this is a guy that I think could do it. He didn't come here to be the afterthought or the joke on ESPN or NFL Network. You know what I'm saying? They got a little bit. This defense has some guys with a little bit of pride in it. And I think what happened to him last week, you know, when you're getting called out on Twitter, and he even acknowledged Ryan Clark, you know, on Twitter that, you know, these former players coming after him and everything.
Yeah.
And they have to understand it's real, though. I mean, when they keep getting gashed, I mean, have some pride. They stepped up so much with Matt Moore.
Well, you,
and they revert back when Mahomes comes back. And again, I've been saying they put way too much pressure on Pat Mahomes.
I think we all agree with that up here, is that and going into, especially going into that Denver game, that Thursday night game, going, and I think that was mentioned on this station repeatedly, like, you got, there's too much pressure to have Mahomes carry this thing. Like, but it goes back to how many times, like last year. I mean, the loss against the Rams, they lost against the Patriots. They scored more than 35 points, more than 40 points. You got to eventually realize. Remember the old Atlanta Falcons coach, Jerry Glanville?
Oh, yeah.
Not for long. Not for long when you play like
this. NFL standards, not for long.
I mean, but, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, it's great. It's great to bring in new guys. It's great to do this. It's great to do that. But ultimately, I mean, the NFL really is, when it comes to sports, it's one of the most level playing fields. Sure, you can argue like, well, but some players are better than the others, but it's, you have to be an elite caliber player. And I remember watching that game on Sunday. My wife and I and a couple of friends went to watch it. We got away from the kids. After, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, we stayed in the hotel less than a mile from our house just to go swimming last Saturday. Anyway, I digress. Mecole Hardman.
Is it indoor pool or outdoor?
It was an indoor pool because it's, you know, cold outside. But it felt like it was an outdoor pool because the pool was very cold. But that Mecole Hardman took a punt return or a kick return or whatever, and he did one of those college moves, as the announcer said, where he ran backwards like 10 yards to try and get out.
Which is never a good idea.
But he goes, that might work in college, but it doesn't happen in the NFL.
It's called NFL speed.
Yeah.
Big difference from guys that are going to be playing on Sunday.
And most everybody on a roster that's active in the NFL is playing at NFL speed. And it's just, you know, everybody's got to come together and make that happen.
No question about it. Coming up next, Colin Cowherd's been all over the place, right? And he talks about the Chiefs now out of the Super Bowl bubble. Earlier this week, he talked about Mahomes getting MVPs but not rings. We'll discuss that. Plus, we'll talk about Myles Garrett and the helmet swing next. Welcome back to Big and Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, Jason Nivens, 98.9 The Rock. Getting you ready for Chiefs Chargers in Mexico City. Heard the advertisement, 435 Podcast Network. Available, 610sports.com. Go download, use the two guys in a brewery. Different breweries, almost every brewery around the city, plus Easy Hops will be up there extremely soon.
That, it's just fascinating to me how many brewers now in Kansas City came from ZZ Hops. Just listening to
them.
Got
to come from somewhere, Nivens.
Well, I understand that, you know, but I mean, just to hear them say, yeah, so-and-so here and so-and-so there and so-and-so here. And, oh, yeah, we've done this with it. Yes, and to reiterate the fact, and I think it's important because I know, like, human nature, when you try something new and you don't
human
know
how nature to, says, boom.
You don't know how to do it. You don't want to put yourself out there too far because you don't look like a fool. But guess what? You fell down 100 times before you learned how to walk. Yeah, I feel like I'm a Tony Robbins speaker right now.
Dadding us?
Yeah, no problem. But ZZHops.com, I mean, you can have no equipment at all, not even a Mr. Beer or whatever that the cheap home brewing kit is. You can have no equipment whatsoever, go to one of their meetings, taste their beer, learn the business, learn the game. You can audit it, like they said, one or two, three times, doesn't matter, and go check it out. I think that's important, and I think that's a really good. I don't want to say it's a service, like, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's, but it's a great thing. It's a great little club that's been created here in Kansas
City.
Remember
when you and I were going to start a brewery? We even had our name.
Oh, we still are.
Not going to mention name and a logo.
Don't worry, we still are. I'm working on it.
It's pretty cool.
No one likes orange beer.
Nah, it's pretty
the
cool.
The neon
man.
Bink. Let me tell you what. That's going to be
the logo.
That's going to be the hottest flavor on the tap. Neon Bink.
This logo's pretty sweet. You'd love the T-shirts.
But I'm working on it. I was driving down one of the streets today that I thought a spot
get it.
Might be.
Let's do
Don't
it.
Worry, I'm working
Let's
on
do
it.
Let's go get ZZ Hops and get some brew.
I just
get somebody knows what they're doing.
I got a lot of irons
Let's
in the
go
fire.
Go get Billy.
I'll get somebody.
Let Billy do it.
I'll get it. No problem. I'll make Julio do it. Julio makes bathtub gin. I don't know if you know this, man. He makes some crazy
it's called moonshine.
Vodka.
He makes some crazy moonshine out of the toilet. from his time serving, you know.
Well, Colin Coward might have been well into the moonshine as well. He said this about the Chiefs. He's been back and forth on this team all year.
The eight biggest games in Patrick Mahomes' career. AFC Championship lost. AFC Division Round won. Monday Night Football against the Rams game moved from Mexico lost. Against New England, Sunday Night Football lost. In Seattle, Sunday Night Football lost. That Thursday night game against the Chargers with playoff implications lost.
Stop.
This year, Mahomes against Deshaun Watson, that was the game we were like, oh, that's the game of the weekend, lost. And Sunday Night Football against the Colts, when we were shocked, Jacoby Brissett went in there, ball control lost. 1-7 in your eight biggest games. Yes, you blow out bad teams. Yes, you're unbeaten in September. Yes, you can throw the ball and not look. I get it. I need you to win more games against TV games. You know, we always roll our eyes at Kirk Cousins, and we all know Mahomes is better than Kirk Cousins, but you got to start winning those Sunday games and the Thursday games and the standalone games and the pressure games. You got to start winning those games. Kansas City doesn't win those enough, and so they're out of my Super Bowl bubble.
Put him back in the Super Bowl bubble. It's Colin Coward from the Colin Coward Show. The thing about it is, too, the team's finally healthy. Well, not quite. They need to get Fisher back and LDT, which it looks like they'll be back in Mexico City. But this team hasn't been together. Maybe a few plays there when Eric Fisher finally came back, but they're not together. Remember Tyreek Hill missed sometimes, Mahomes missed sometimes. You know, they haven't really been together as a unit. I still have them in the Super Bowl bubble. And the bottom line is, find me a lot of teams that are better. Like, can the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Houston Texans any day of the year? Yes. Did they lose to them? Yes. Can they beat them? Yes. Can the Chiefs beat the Patriots? Yes. To me, facing the Chiefs would be a difficult proposition for another team. It's about the team speed. They all talk about it. The Chiefs just keep getting faster. They upgrade and become faster themselves. Look at what Hardman did. That stuff scares defensive coordinators. The stuff with Tyreek Hill scares defensive coordinators. It's one of those things, just like what Anthony Lynn, this is what he said on Chargers.com, the head coach of the Chargers.
Well, I mean, we've played these guys, you know, last few years, and they've upgraded in speed. They've always been fast, but they've even upgraded. And you have to stay on top. You know, you can't let these guys get behind you. We have to eliminate explosive plays as much as we can.
They've been fast, and they got faster. They upgraded in speed. The speed does concern them because they'll take routine plays and go to the house.
If anybody's, you know, worried about the hot take from Colin Coward, just know that you can type in, Colin Coward's been wrong, and a million videos come up of all the times he's been wrong.
Well, these guys make so many proclamations.
Because remember, just like us, he's sitting in a chair talking into a microphone.
And the weathermen have been wrong.
I've been smarter than the rest of us.
No smarter than the rest of us.
You're usually wrong, Nibbins.
Me?
Yeah.
He's taking shots.
It's because he got mad about my oxygen. If we can play back that tape by the oxygen comment, that's what he's mad about. I just, you know, he breaks down this, like, he did this 1-8 thing, but was the Chargers loss that big of a loss? I mean, yeah, he lost to the Mahomes as the quarterback with the team, lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. This is his, if I'm correct on this one, this is Mahomes. How many years now has Mahomes been
starting? Second year. He had that flirtation with that Broncos game his first year.
But Alex Smith was the starter then, right? And so he was it.
He's never had a defense. I will say he's never had a defense.
But was it was I'm you know me, I'm, as you call me, a rock boy. Did Patrick Mahomes start for the first time with an NFL team last year?
No, it was the year before. Remember the Broncos game, the last game of the year.
No. I mean, as a full-time starter.
Yes, last year.
And didn't he have one of the best
5,000 yards
single season? Right. And so this year, this is his second time?
Second full-time.
Full-time. Ever starting an NFL career. Is that correct?
Yes.
So last year was his first time as a full-time starter.
Yes.
And then this year is his second year as a full-time starter. Is that correct? Again, guys.
Correct. Okay. Somebody grab the beer from him.
No, I'm just saying. I'm serious, man. Clearly,
you want some water?
Clearly what CC's doing here is just trying to fill time and being like, picking
and choosing his argument.
I got a hot take. I got
Nobody
this.
Just said
I
the Chiefs were going to be on a roll last week. And he said the Chargers are going to be on a roll the same day they got beat by the Raiders. These things do happen.
Full of it is what it
guys
is.
Are wrong. Guys are wrong. What do you guys think about the Myles Garrett hit last night where he pulls off the helmet and swings it at Mason Rudolph?
I mean, that's unacceptable.
You had to watch everybody, even you out of the sports.
I did, but I woke up this morning hearing about it, and then it took me until I got a chance to really dive into watching the whole thing.
Big ass dude?
No, I was up this morning again at 7:15.
That was a good one.
Dudes, good one. Donuts with dudes. I had to deal with it this morning. But I will say that if you notice, Mason does kick him in the junk and then tries to rip his helmet off. I'm not justifying the actions.
I don't think Mason would have hit him with the helmet.
No, I don't think so either. I'm not justifying the actions, but I'm saying that if that dude's being punished by being kicked out for basically the rest of the year, there should be at least a small fine.
He's going to get one.
A small fine.
He's going to get one.
I disagree. I think you and Bink are on the same page with that.
You kick a guy in the junk.
But here's the thing, right? So if you watch it, I don't know if you've watched the clip or not.
I did. I watched, yeah.
There's, what, a minute left in the game or so?
Yeah.
I mean, Myles Garrett takes him to the ground. He clearly could have let him go. Hung on a little too long and then put all his weight on him.
Okay.
And basically would not let him up. And being, I'm sure he was frustrated, right? 4 interceptions. He didn't have a great game.
Yeah.
So some of that was frustration. But Myles Garrett had something to do with getting it to that point. Had he gotten up and not forced him to there's a minute left, dude. Let him go.
Right.
Let him go. You pushed him to that point. And yes, he tried to take his helmet off. But Myles Garrett took it above and beyond.
No, there's no denying that. I think everybody.
But to say Mason Rudolph started it, I disagree with that.
But that's the
but should
all
he?
But Myles Mason, Garrett started.
What Mason on, Rudolph though. Did though? That's normal. That happens in NFL games.
Kicking
all
a guy
the
in the junk.
Yes.
Well, he's trying to get him off of him.
You know how many guys
get off?
You know how many guys grab guys
and
in
then
the junk?
And then him trying to take his helmet off.
You know how many people squeeze at the bottom?
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know.
It's pretty normal.
Yeah. But I'm saying, but then Mason squeeze. Tried to rip his helmet off.
Because he's trying to get him off of him. Because
I would
there's
argue,
a minute left.
I would argue that those helmets were worse than that.
I would agree, too. I mean, I don't know about the swinging of the helmet, but.
Yeah, it was ugly all the way through.
That was,
if Mason Rudolph would have gotten hurt, we'd have been talking. This would have been a lot more serious today.
Yeah,
Myles Garrett did apologize today. I give him credit for talking after the game. Usually those guys can run or hide. He didn't. He stood there at his locker. Today he issued an apology. Probably the Browns made him do it. The Browns are pretty embarrassed about this whole deal. And how about Baker Mayfield? Where did he mature at? Did he just all of a sudden snap? Baker Mayfield was leveling it out after the game.
Well, he got called out by Brandon Marshall with that whole face-shaving mumbo-jumbo before the game,
yeah, what's
after
funny
the
is
game, and
all
that.
The players that are on both sides, most players were against what Myles Garrett did.
Yeah.
You see Antonio Brown, he even tweeted out with his face or his foot going on the one of Brown's. But some of the players
that's
were
the last person I think
him.
You want to have in your corner right now.
the fact he's not pressing charges, I think, goes a long way.
So you think there can be a legitimate assault charge?
No, I don't, because it was on the field.
I think if he really wanted to, it's happened twice
in hockey with Bertuzzo and Marty McSorley. And they end up getting probation because in Canada they did come down on
them. The intent was there to harm, though. I mean, it clearly was.
So is Myles Garrett then suspended indefinitely from the NFL?
Indefinitely for the rest of this season.
And then he's got to meet with the NFL before the 2020 season.
Is this his first major altercation?
No.
Or
he's had a few this year.
He's had two. I think one was a 46,000 somewhere around there.
I mean, he hasn't gone Vontaze Burfict yet, but.
But I mean, you talked about Baker Mayfield, the post game I saw with him. He's like, this is a violent sport. Guys lose their cool. Like, I mean, if you
he condemned it.
I'm not saying that people are justifying his actions. I'm not saying that people are signing off on it. My point though is that
these quarterbacks hate this stuff.
Is that if you have a guy like this that loses his S, as you said now 2-3 times this season alone. And you're now trying to take this brand and spread it into London and spread it into Mexico City. I'm sorry, you guys have seen some of those soccer matches over in Europe and down in Mexico when riots happen.
Urine bombs.
I mean, can you imagine if there's that much fan lust down there and a riot like that were to start? I mean,
well, Levine said, what if this happens at Arrowhead, and what if this is Pat Mahomes? Because so many people tweeted out. I would have been down on that field taking care of
I think about it.
It might have been pretty ugly had it happened at Arrowhead. I'll be honest. I don't think fans would do it because I think Chiefs would. I think Raglan and those guys would have come out there. I think the Chiefs offensive line.
Several Chiefs
would have taken care of this.
Actually tweeted that. Let that be Patrick.
But do you think the fans would have done anything?
I mean, in the video, the clip, I'm sure you guys saw it too. The quarterback, He gets up, and then he has no helmet, and one of the Browns players comes and checks him.
Shoves him.
Yeah. Shoves him.
Yeah. Oh, Ojambu. That was dirty.
Yeah.
That was
Bush League.
He's
getting suspended, too.
For just one game, though. Just one game for that?
That stuff happens.
So now you're being dismissive of that.
He didn't
hit
him with the damn helmet.
But there's a big difference,
But he didn't kick him in the junk either. He just shoved him because the whistle wasn't blown. So you're justifying a kick in the junk.
Well, and again,
you're saying, oh, these things happen for a quarterback getting shoved down with no helmet on.
But I don't think the kick in the junk was malicious. It was to get him off. Because he was laying on top.
Of course it was malicious. You're trying to get him off.
Yeah, he's trying to get him. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, though. No, there's no. He was trying to get him off. I mean, that's the bottom line.
By kicking him in the junk.
Hey, look, where his foot slipped, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Coming up next, the Chargers in Colorado Springs. Some of this stuff is kind of funny. I'm not 100% sure they want to be there. We'll play some Charger stuff. Talking about Colorado Springs next. Welcome back to Big and Night, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez.
Julio!
Jason Nivens, 989 The Rock. The Chiefs in Chargers, Mexico City, Monday night. The Chargers, believe it or not, have moved to high altitude. This is what Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Chargers, had to say about practicing in Colorado Springs.
You know, guys flew around. Got some good practice in. Today was a bonus day. That was a good practice. Guys, you know, getting used to this altitude. Yeah, that's why we're here.
He was out of breath when he was talking. 7,200 feet. It got to him. 7,300 and something is Mexico City. My high, 5,200 in Denver. Here's more Anthony Lynn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I've experienced it myself. And so I've done all the science. And just from personal experience, a lot of scientists don't play football.
A lot of scientists don't play football because I'm talking about the scientific reason it takes about 14 days to get acclimated. To the higher altitude, whether it works or not, who knows? This is Austin Eckler, the running back, leads the NFL running backs in receptions. And this is Austin Eckler, who played at Western Colorado, Division II team. He's actually one of the few Chargers, I guess, that are excited. I think Phillip Rivers is because he brought the family and they went to the zoo. So a few Chargers that want to be in Colorado Springs. I would. It's a great place. L.A. is a great place. Colorado Springs might be better.
I think there's a lot of mixed feelings about us coming here. Me personally, I kind of like the change up. Probably a little biased, obviously, because you know I'm from here. So you know, I was kind of looking forward to being back in Colorado for a week. But I know some people, you know, would disagree with that. They would rather just have you know our own facility, get back in our regular routine. But I honestly like it because it just gets us away from everything that's been going on there. Hey, let's pick up and let's move and let's just focus and let's because we have what six games left, six games, and so. You know, these are super important because of the position we put ourselves in. And now it's time. Hey, if we, like Coach Lynn said, our playoffs basically start now. You know, there could be, you know, a chance we could lose another game and still make it if we win them all. But just focus. Let's just get 1-0. So I like that we're out here. Just focus on just this game.
So he seemed pretty happy. It's Austin Eckler, Chargers.com. He seemed relatively happy to be out there and practicing in the altitude. Here's some of the other reactions from Anthony Lynn. That was the first day, by the way. Here's what he said today regarding the practices in Colorado, Anthony Lynn.
Well, I think when you're playing in 73 and you have the luxury to go practice, you know, I'll go somewhere for a week and live in 72 and practice in it, I think mentally, number one, you feel a little better. But I also think it can benefit the players from practicing in this type of altitude before they go play in it. Oh, they're fine. I mean, some of them, they understand. They got here, they had a hard time breathing. You know, they kind of understand. They've never been in 72, a lot of these guys. And so they saw how hard it was. They was like, glad we're here.
Anthony Lynn also says they're going to pass the run and run
fast.
Well,
I mean, the last couple of weeks, we've been leaning on the running game a little bit. And, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to win. You know, whatever Kansas City gives us, we'll take. But we understand we need to establish the run at some point, and we'll run the pass, and we'll pass the run.
Melvin Ingram, a really good pass rusher for the Chargers, albeit just 4.5 sacks this year, him on one side, Bose on the other. This is what he had to think about the whole Colorado. I'm not sure he was 100% on board with this, but here's what he thought about going to Mexico City.
I don't know. I ain't never been. We ain't worried about that. We going to play football. We going to try to get a win. That ain't a trip. We going to handle business.
So I don't think he's going sightseeing, Melvin Ingram. He's going. He's going for business. This is a business. This is a completely a business trip. Phillip Rivers also talked out there, and he was asked a question about the Chargers. This has been kind of the theme. Are the Chargers a desperate team?
Yeah, I don't think desperation. I think urgency, I mean, any other word you can think of. I mean, I don't think we feel desperate, although we know how crucial this game is. And I think it's flipped. But it's a big game for both teams for obvious reasons. We're off to a slow start in the division, losing our first two division games. But to be sitting where we're sitting and only be two games back and really have, you know, six-game season ahead of us, to say – and not – you can't – it's not 100% accurate, but to almost be able to say you control your own fate at 4-6 is pretty rare. So, the focus is there and – the belief is there that we can turn it around, and it's a heck of an opponent. Obviously, a challenge in Kansas City, but looking forward to it.
And they're feeling it as well. And even Phillip Rivers thought he's shocked the Chiefs have four losses at this time. He's shocked that they have six themselves.
Nobody thought the Chiefs would have four losses, and I would think that nobody thought we'd have six. It is, and it can go down that road, and I try to quickly get rid of it because it doesn't make anything any better. But certainly, it can cause you to go think back through some of these games that we really let get away. And that's the thing about this league is it's the margins like that. I mean, we're not playing. We haven't played terrible through 10 weeks. We haven't. We've made some critical mistakes and just not been able to overcome them in some of these games. That is the difference in the record being flipped. But it's not, and we can't change it. So I can only look forward and try to find a way to see if we can get one on Monday night, and then who knows what happens from there.
It's Phillip Rivers, Melvin Ingram, Anthony Lynn, and Austin Eckler, Chargers.com. And their backs are against the wall. And they're treating it like this too. You heard them. Yeah. Melvin Ingram, we're going for business, man.
No,
I think the Chiefs are going to get their best effort.
But see, and that's earlier tonight.
Earlier
tonight, you said this is not a must-win game for the Chiefs. For the Chargers, this is a must-win game. If you have those two attitudes, guess who's probably going to come out on top?
Well, both teams' backs are against the wall. Just the Chargers are a little bit more of a desperate situation.
The margin of error per P. Rivers is very slim.
It's slim.
Very slim. And the farther we get along this season, it gets slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. At this point, I would think both teams should view this game as a must-win game.
And I think a lot of times, I think in certain respects they do. The Chiefs want to get back. I mean, they're embarrassed to what happened.
Every game should be a must-win
game. I think it's
game.
Good they didn't have a bye week, get back and play, get the W.
Not for long.
If they get a loss out there, then have the bye week to sit there and think about it and stew on it. Bad situation. Hold that thought right there, Nivens, about who's going to win this game or not, because, like we do every Friday.
The world-famous predictions?
The world-famous predictions. Next. Welcome back to Big at Night. Final segment, world-famous picks. Jay Binkley, producer Julio Sanchez, Jason Nivens, 98.9 The Rock. Gentlemen,
yes.
How did we do last week, Julio? Do you even remember?
Do we have a record of that?
I know it's not good. But
yeah, it was pretty much awful. All the way around.
Okay.
Actually, Nivens was the one.
Ah! Wait, what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What was
Nivens
that?
Nivens was 4-3.
How?
We were one and five.
Woo! Nice.
That was brutal.
All right,
that was brutal.
We'll schedule up again.
Wait. Just real quickly before we move on to this week's.
Yes.
Are you saying that I won
the first time ever?
Lion squirrel. Come on.
Nah,
Lion squirrel.
We're not going back to next year. We're looking at this.
You've never won.
That's not true.
It's very true.
That is absolutely not true.
I think it's true.
That is not true.
2-1-1.
All right. I just want to just real quickly, guys. I won last week.
All right. Okay. Let's go again. Up. Back it up then.
Yep. Here we go.
Smarty pants. Back it up.
Here we go. What do you got?
You know, let's do some of the locals first.
Okay.
Do Kansas at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, 17.5-point favorites.
Tickets as low as $13.
Tickets as low as 13. Give me Oklahoma State. Spencer Sanders running there are without their best receiver. Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher. Kansas, the worst run defense in the Big 12. Oklahoma State rolls, covers the 17.5.
Oh, you're going to go with the coverage? Are we bringing that into it?
We always bring it into it.
We do.
Since when?
Since every time.
I don't remember that
on occasion.
I'm going Oklahoma State.
I'm going to say Oklahoma State will win, but they won't beat the coverage.
I will go OSU as well. I will say they are beating the coverage.
Okay.
They are going to cover the game. Now, as far as the rest of the Big 12 is concerned, how about Kansas State? Kansas State travels to, or not, they're at home. No traveling. West Virginia. Kansas State, 13.5-point favorites over West Virginia. West Virginia's bad.
Number 24 ranked Kansas State. There's tickets still available as low as $21.
Perfect. Kansas State's been on a roll. It beat Oklahoma, beat the hell out of Kansas.
Lost last week.
Yeah, but Texas had that final drive, won the game, close game. Give me Kansas State to roll West Virginia. I'll take Kansas State in the points.
And what's the points?
13.5.
Yeah,
Kansas
why
State
not?
By two touches.
Why not?
Julio?
Why not? He's writing it down. We can't even hear you. Might want to turn your mic on.
That's a good call.
How long you been here?
I'm a newbie here. K-State, I say they do not cover, though.
Okay.
Florida, 7-point favorites over the Missouri Tigers. Home game for Missouri. Missouri's got nothing to lose. I mean, absolutely nothing
to
lose.
They're bringing them in, aren't
Florida
they?
Wins, Missouri covers.
Yeah, I don't even. I was looking for the tickets.
I'll take Missouri plus the 7.
Let me see where it is here. Tickets probably still available, and I'll go. Yeah, I'll agree with Bink on that one.
Ditto.
Oh, here we go.
Tickets as low as $11.
All right, some good top 25 matchups. Here we go. Number 4 Georgia at number 12 Auburn.
Ooh.
Georgia 3-point favorites. Give me Auburn. They can play the spoiler route in this game, and don't forget Georgia lost at home to South Carolina. Give me the Auburn Tigers.
Tickets as low as $112. I say give me the Tigers as well.
I'm going to go Auburn.
All right, so we're all in agreement on that one?
Yeah.
Minnesota at Iowa. Undefeated Minnesota. Iowa 6-3. Iowa minus the 3 in this one. Minnesota's getting no respect.
None.
And I mean none.
And they are looking tough, man.
Give me the Gophers and PJ Fleck in this one.
Tickets as low as $59.
Wrong team's favorite.
If you're heading up to Iowa, tickets as low as $59, I'd say Minnesota. Give me Minnesota.
It's not very cheap, is it?
No.
Yeah, no. I'm going to go with the upside here. I'm going to go Iowa.
Okay.
Why not? Okay. Let's switch it up a little bit.
Now you got to switch it up. All right. Primetime, 6:30 ABC, number 10 Oklahoma at number 13 Baylor.
Oof.
Baylor, 3 overtime win against TCU 3 weeks ago. They had 2 overtimes. They beat Texas Tech. Oklahoma, 10-point favorites on the road at Baylor. Baylor's been sneaking by. Oklahoma's looked shaky, though.
Yes.
They got beat by Kansas State. They almost lose to Iowa State. Iowa State went for a 2-point conversion to beat the Sooners in Norman. Give me Oklahoma to win. Give me Baylor to cover.
Tickets as low as $70. I concur with Bink on this one. Oklahoma to win, Baylor to cover.
What's the spread?
10.
Yeah. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Not number 10 versus number 13. It's not.
Agreed.
NFL, Chiefs, Chargers, Monday Night Football, Mexico City, Chiefs, -4. Give me the Chiefs, baby. They got to win this one. They will win this one.
Are you being a homer right now?
No. I'll take the Chiefs. It's a neutral site. Chiefs, Chargers.
It's not a neutral site. Not when they just left San Diego not that far, that long ago.
L.A.
Look,
but they're coming.
My point is
Colorado.
That the Chargers.
Yeah, they're coming from Colorado.
My point is that the Chargers used to play in San Diego. My point is that Tijuana is right next door to San Diego. My point is
that your theory?
Probably a large contingency of Chargers fans in Tijuana.
There's no such thing.
You never know.
There's no such thing as Chargers fans.
I'm gonna say the Chiefs by a field goal. Butker's gonna somehow pull it out.
So you get the Chargers covering.
Yes.
Chiefs, they're not. Yeah, they're gonna come.
There you go.
They're gonna come.
World famous pick segment.
Tickets as low as $81 if you're going to head to Estadio Azteca, Mexico City.
Finito.
Ciudad.
Seriously, college football is loaded tomorrow, especially at 2:30. Georgia-Auburn, 2:30 on CBS. Wake Forest, 7-2 against undefeated Clemson. Really one of Clemson's last, you know, you hope that they lose. If you hope that they lose, maybe you don't. Maybe you're pulling for Clemson. I am tired of them being in the playoffs every year. 2:30 on ABC. Minnesota and Iowa, 3 o'clock on Fox. Can't wait for this one.
A lot.
See if Iowa can keep that gopher magic going. And Oklahoma Baylor is really interesting to me as the night game. Really interesting.
I mean, I don't see they're ranked 10th and 13th, that being a blowout.
And Oklahoma slid. They went from 9th to 10th. These are college football playoff rankings that we had.
Again, I just don't see them. I don't see it being a blowout. I think it's going to be a dogfight for sure.
Now, the college football rankings came out. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. Your top four. If you're Alabama's sitting at 5. They need LSU to clean house. They need Georgia and LSU to meet an SEC title game.
Yep.
LSU to beat Georgia, knock them down, give them their second loss. Maybe Alabama sneaks in. Oregon's still got to play Utah. Oregon and Utah are 6-7 in the poll. The Pac-12 championship game will be interesting probably between those teams. But if LSU, I don't think LSU is out even if they lose the SEC title game, only because they've beaten 4 top 10 teams, mm-hmm. and they would have one loss. Legit. And their one loss would be in the SEC title game,
legit,
which is a good loss to have.
So right now, on this moment, as we're getting ready to go to a closing segment, who do you have as the final four? Is that final four? They call it the playoff? Who do you have in the playoff for college football?
Today, on this day. LSU, Clemson, Ohio State. Man, it's going to be tough for Bama unless LSU just rolls everybody. And then maybe Alabama. Remember, Alabama snuck in, didn't even go to the SEC title game years ago.
If Minnesota
got in the playoffs and they won the whole thing.
If Minnesota keeps winning, does it end up in that last group?
They got to win the Big Ten title game. But if they do, then it knocks out Ohio State.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Maybe.
Leads the East. They're 6-0 in the Big Ten East. Minnesota 6-0 in the Big Ten West. They would meet in the Big Ten championship.
So you're basically saying you have no answer to that then?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they could be knocked out or maybe they're not. I mean, if it's a close game, who knows?
So you have no answer to that.
Maybe Minnesota gets into
it. Your playoff.
Minnesota if Minnesota wins the Big Ten,
your playoff,
you have to put them in.
Your playoff teams, you have no answer to that.
I just gave you 4.
No, you didn't. You gave me like 8. You said maybe Oregon.
I won 8.
Maybe Bama.
I'm just saying it's too early to decide.
But even if they lost.
Too early to decide. Hey,
so you just said you have no answer.
Thanks to
that.
ZZ Hops coming in. Thanks to Pete Sweeney and Matt Lane.
I just asked you for the playoff team. And
no thanks to
you
Jason
gave me
Nibbons
no
coming
answers
in.
On that.
Great thanks to Julio Sanchez. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 a.m.
So you have no answer then.
Good night.
All right.
Shut up.
Gaming at night. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.